is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the P&O community. Thank you for joining us. I'm Simon Beals, your host for this episode. We have a great show for you today. Darren Smith of Allard USA is with us to discuss improving biomechanical function in a patient using a dynamic AFO. Darren has spent over 20 years as a practicing chiropractic sports physician in the Portland area before joining Allard USA in 2019 as their Northwest District Manager. Also, he is Canadian from the Victoria area and is a world champion paratriathlete. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, Darren.
Thanks for inviting me. It's pretty exciting to get to tell
my
story.
Happy to have you. Excellent. So, Darren, let's begin with your story. It's a really great place to start. So I think when we first met last year, I first recognized your name from the Get Back Up video that was produced by Allard. And, you know, we've shown that widely. So if it's not too personal, love to hear about your journey and how you came to work with Allard.
Sure. Well, back in 2002, in November 1st, 2002, I had a spinal cord infarct during surgery. And when I woke up from that surgical procedure, from pretty much my belly button down, I had complete loss of motor function on the left and complete loss of sensory on the right. Of course, that was
How old would you have been at that point?
02, I would have been 36.
Wow.
So, you know, hard to get used to when you're being an active person all your life. I mean, playing hockey is something that I still can do, but not the way I used to. So that was something that I've missed. But overall, you know, I think those being injured was a blessing in one way, because I've done more since being injured than I ever would have as an able-bodied athlete, I feel anyway. I sure wouldn't have tried an Ironman, that's for sure. So back in 02, I had this injury. I had just purchased a new chiropractic practice. I had a two-month-old baby and wasn't sure I was ever going to be able to walk again. According to one of the neurologists at Oregon Health Sciences University, he told me that I'd be lucky to walk again, let alone do another triathlon. So I signed up for half Ironman, researched it, wanted to do wheelchair athletics, and started slowly after I got released from the rehab hospital. Started slowly getting motor function back in my leg. Fast forward 2 years of, you know, very frustrating rehab. I did my first half Ironman in San Diego with the Challenge Athletes Foundation, and it took me 8.5 hours. They were actually closing up the event when I finished, but they let me finish. And the next year I went back and I took 1.5 hours off of it. And since then I've been doing triathlon at a high level. So I've probably done well over 100 triathlons. I've done two full Ironman. And I think going back, looking at why I did all this, it's because somebody told me I couldn't, you know, I had
a good motivator.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that was his purpose, because he had 5 interns in tow and he was giving me his expert opinion on what my outcome would be two days after my injury. So I used that as a motivator for sure. But whether that was his intent, I don't know. So doing triathlon. Oh, by the way, let me back up. When I was released from the hospital, I was given a plastic AFO, a rigid AFO. I really didn't wear it very much. And my physical therapist didn't like me much because I did hip hiking and swinging my leg. As a male, especially at 36 years old, I didn't want anybody to see me with a disability. Now I love to show it off. But back then, I got fitted for a custom solid ankle AFO, and then they put an articulation in it. Hated it. Didn't wear it at all. It was too clunky. It didn't fit any of my work shoes. So I stopped using it and put it in the closet. And for running, I used an active ankle, which is the Aircast, or a lace-up. But because lace-ups take some time, in triathlon, I switched to just the active ankle. I did trip a lot, but I didn't break my ankle, which is one good thing. In 2009, I got beat at nationals by another team up member. He beat me, flew past me wearing this blue thing on his leg. So I found him 2 hours later. That's how quick he was. He passed me, found him, and asked him what this magical device was. And we talked
about
it.
Who was that?
Craig Wotzberger.
It was. Okay. Yeah.
Craig's got an interesting story too. So we're really close friends now. And he came back through after doing Xterra World Championships, and he came back through the Portland airport, and he had a 3-hour layover. So I met him down there and he let me use his AFO. Thankfully, we're both the same side, same size, and TSA wasn't appreciative, but I was running that back and forth in the airport. And again, I said, I have to have one of these magical devices. So not knowing anything other than this blue one, that's the one I asked my neurologist for. So she sent me a script, got the device. And I think the first time I used it was at World Championships in Budapest in 2010. A week after I got it, and I took 5 minutes or so off my 5K time because I wasn't worried about falling anymore. I was just, you know, it was just an amazing thing. In 2012, I was standing in line at the Portland Rock and Roll Marathon Expo to pick up my packet, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked back, and there's this little tiny woman wearing a very similar brace, and that was Beth Deloria. And we talked quite a bit. I was there on behalf of Challenge Athletes Foundation, and she started, you know, talking to me about a possible visible national program of runners with foot drop. And so that's where Team Up, she started thinking about that in 2012. In 2013, we officially formed the Get Back Up Today. And gosh, I can't remember how many team co-captains we have, maybe 15 now. We have everybody from people who want to walk their dogs all the way to world-class para-Olympians, para-cyclists, para-triathletes. So we have a diverse group of people. Some have CMT, some have spinal cord injuries, some have MS, MDFSH. So there's a few different things that people have. And we all get to get well. We've gotten together twice for events. We usually get together and do an event, a running event or walking. And the last time I think we were together was in Raleigh in 2018 or 2017, just before I started with Allard. So that's how Team Up, probably an archaic way to say how Team Up got started, but that's how I got involved, by just randomly meeting Beth in an expo.
Interesting. I actually had the fortune of meeting Beth. She came up to Canada, to Montreal. There was a stop again on that rock and roll marathon series, and the stop was in Montreal. So she came up and we spent a couple of days together in Montreal, visiting various clinics and so forth. She did a bit of media, and then she ran the marathon, and I was kind of somewhere along the course, and she said, okay, this is my timing roughly. And I said, well, I'll be able to find you. I mean, you're the one, wearing an Allard. And she goes, you will have a hard time spotting me, because now that, a lot of people wear compression, tall compression socks, it looks exactly like, an anterior shell AFO. So she was absolutely right. If I hadn't known kind of where she was going to be, I would have never been able to pick her out of the crowd. But, she has quite a similar story in some ways to you, in that, she was a runner, due to medical conditions, had problems. And she said, remember her saying that she didn't realize how much running was a part of her until she wasn't able to do it anymore. She was the one reached out to social media, I think, wasn't it? And she said, is there anything that can help get me back to Boston?
That's
and
how I think she that's started what, out.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was with her the whole bunch of us were with her for her 100 rock and roll half marathon or full marathon. She's done over 100 now, all through that series. And there was a big, it was a pretty big event at the Raleigh rock and roll event. And I probably run with her in Portland at least twice, in Vegas two or three times, in Raleigh. And then we did some other events. We did one in Greensboro, North Carolina, and one in Charlotte, North Carolina. And again, not all of us run. What you said about getting how much she missed running. I hated running. I was a hockey player. I was a football player. The last thing I wanted to do was run. But when I was told I couldn't do it, something I couldn't do, that's where I decided, you know what, I'm going to give her a go. And I still don't love it, but I love the feeling of being able to do it. And that's what my AFO has been given to me, as compared to the plastic one that I left the hospital with.
Right. So as both kind of a user of the device, and now in your role as a representative kind of within a territory for Allard in the US, as well as coming up to Canada to support us across the entire country. So you've got a very unique perspective on the product. Can you speak to that, as a user, having been in, both a plastic, rigid or articulated, and now into the carbon fiber? I mean, from your perspective, what's it like? What does it feel like?
Well, when I go into an office, I have the perspective of being a patient as well as a rep for the company. Honestly, I had no idea we had so many products when I first started with Allard. But walking into an office where they actually can see that I'm wearing the device, I can give them a different outlook on how it works for me. And, not every AFO is going to work for every single person. Like for me, for example, I give the story that I can't wear a posterior shell AFO because I have so much atrophy on my tibia that it just the straps, no matter how much you pad them or how soft they are, I still get irritated. So with the anterior shell, it just feels a lot better for me.
And what device do you wear on a daily basis?
I wear the Toe-Off 2.5 Flow.
Okay.
But I have worn everything from the original Blue Rocker. Once I got involved with Allard through Team Up, our in-house orthotist, Vinny, I don't know how to say his last name.
I always just called him Vinny.
Vinny. So anyway, Vinny told me, just from watching me walk, that I was overbraced. And so I got the 2.0 right when it came out, and I felt so much better in that. I wasn't getting a lot of as much friction from the Blue Rocker. And I was lucky enough in 2018 to be able to use a prototype 2.5 Flow. And when we went to AOPA in Vancouver, they told me to bring an extra brace because they were going to take that one back because it's a prototype. I was like, no, I love this thing. I really, please let me keep it. And so luckily.
So what do you feel? So I would, most of our clinicians would be familiar with the range of Allard products. But over the years, we have added lines. So kind of the original toe off went to the 2.0, then came the 2.5. And I do kind of joke that for some of our younger clinicians, I do have to explain what a fraction is to them, because they may not be familiar with kind of a half as opposed to a 0.5.
I hear 2.5 a lot.
Yeah. And now we've got the flow. So can you kind of talk kind of through the differences between those and the criteria that clinicians would use when determining which of those is the best option, but, you know, as well as both kind of Ypsilon Blue Rocker?
So the original Blue Rocker, the original Toe-Off, and the 2.0 of both devices have a 15 millimeter heel height, and the original had the wings on it, still has the wings, excuse me. And the 2.5, so that's a 15 millimeter heel height, and then the 2.5 has a 7 millimeter heel height. We called it a 2.5 instead of a 2.5, as we want people to remember that it's half the heel height of the original. The flow has a completely different layup on the foot plate, and I like it personally because it feels more natural when I heel strike and toe off. Not that the other ones aren't natural.
Terms of less resistance, or
it's the flow foot plate is a little more flexible than the toe off 2.5. So we have the toe off 2.5 and toe off 2.5 flow. The 2.5 without the flow has the same layup as a similar layup to the original, where the strut comes down underneath and laces into the foot plate. Whereas on the 2.5 flow, you cannot really see that. With the Ypsilon, we have it in the flow as well, but we didn't call it a 2.5 because we didn't have a 2.0. So we just have the Ypsilon flow half. And then the Blue Rocker, for obvious reasons, we're not going to have a flow in the Blue Rocker because it's meant for, you know, more stability. And we don't want to take stability away by lightening up the foot plate.
Absolutely. So in terms of kind of the reason you would put a patient into a 2.5 based upon the reduced rise of the foot plate.
I think, and this is my opinion, a lot of the newer shoes, it seems to have a lower heel height. Whereas before we used to have 10 millimeter drop and plus. Now, I mean, I wear Hokas almost exclusively. I think I have a 4 millimeter heel drop in most of mine. So I, you know, from what I'm talking, when I talk to clinicians, it seems like they have to do less customization of the device. You know, it is an off the shelf device that requires customization to the patient, whether that's wedging, whether it's posting, whether it's trimming a little bit off foot plate, if it's too big or, that sort of thing. It needs to be customized to the patient. Yes, it's an off the shelf device, but you shouldn't just take it out of the bag, throw it in the shoe and send them on their way. So
the shoes, I know the shoes kind of in the shoe selection criteria, you know, is integral to the success of the device. You know, sometimes when we're trialing a patient and they'll come in and, you know, especially if they are wearing kind of a polypro device, especially if they are quite sizable. I mean, the shoe is oftentimes stretched out, definitely bigger than the shoe size that they would normally wear. And you actually kind of see, I mean, that the shoes are generally just destroyed. So, you know, we have that discussion, obviously, about the shoe and the shoe choice that's going to be used with the device. But I think as we get into like skater shoes and retro sneakers and, you know, certainly kind of more men's dress shoes, I think, again, where we've got that lower internal heel rise, I think that's kind of where we look at that. Is that correct? Is that a fair statement?
I've only found one pair of dress shoes that fit my AFO, and they're Rockports. You know, I think pretty much all the clinicians that listen to this will know that you need to have a footbed inside over top of the carbon fiber footplate. So whether that's custom or whether that's just the one that came with the shoe, I choose my running shoes based on what I think is probably a cosmetic factor. I don't blow out of my shoes as fast with the lateral strut because I typically buy shoes that have, and I don't know what it's called. It looks cosmetic, but if it's built up at all between the upper and the lower, there's like a little strip of material. And again, it could be cosmetic. I don't know, but that's how I choose my shoes. It just seems to be stronger. Or if there's some sort of design on the side that makes it so that your shoe isn't going to push out as quickly. I've destroyed New Balance. I've destroyed Brooks in shorter periods of time than I have any of my Hokas. You're still going to have that wear on the inside, but it's not going to go through as quickly if you have that. I wish I could draw a picture of it, but it just has helped me decide which shoes to wear.
Right. Now, along the lines, so, you know, when we're introducing and when we're talking about the Allard AFOs, we do talk all the time about the customization process that clinicians must go through, you know, to really maximize, you know, the outcome of what the device can do for a patient and all of the tricks that our orthotists are going to use that's in their toolbox for managing the foot biomechanics and how that relates then to the AFO itself. But I do know that some of our clinicians over the years have had challenges with delaminations. Can you speak to that?
Sure.
Because it will be obviously a point of interest for a lot of our clinicians.
So when we first, well, when Allard first started producing their Tow-Off line, they used an oven. And they used an oven up till probably 2016, I believe. And then they started using a autoclave, which goes down to 7 atmospheres of pressure. So delamination, according to some of the studies that we have, is caused by premature delamination, is caused by micro holes that were caused just by baking the device. And I don't know if that's a proper term in the orthotic world, but so now we put them in a pressurized device and we're seeing a lot less breakage. Also, going from the original to the 2.0 to the 2.5, there's been some changes in how the layup is, especially when you go to the flow. And I think that if somebody's left, you know, using Allard products because of the delamination, then ask when the last time that they actually bought one of our devices or how old the device is. And I think, I'm not sure, I don't have one of my AFOs in front of me, but you know, there's a serial number on there and you can tell when it was put through the process. So if it's after 2016, typically that device has gone through the autoclave process and we're seeing a lot less breakage. I mean, we have the lowest breakage on the market as far as what our marketing department tells me. Mm-hmm. We also have the most AFOs in the market because that's our bread and butter.
I happened to be a few years ago under kind of unfortunate circumstances, but I was in Europe kind of quite suddenly and I was in Amsterdam and walking around and I actually got, I mean, it was kind of weird. I got a kick out of seeing people walking around and I'd say, hey, there's a Tow-Off. Hey, there's a Blue Rocker. And I don't think I'd been anywhere where I'd noticed kind of multiple times seeing individuals that were in kind of products that we carry. And I mean, we've been a distributor for Allard since before I started with Orthoped. So it was a kick to be able to kind of see different people walking around kind of wearing devices that we handle here in Canada.
We did a trip with Team Up in 2016 to go visit Helsingborg, which is where Peter Allard's headquarters is. And we went to Stockholm to see some of their other ventures, one of which was a running store that had the equivalent to an athletic trainer. They had physios. They had all sorts of different things. And they branched out. Now they have neurology clinics and that sort of thing. But we were told when we went there that Europeans typically don't like people to see things like the braces and that sort of stuff. So I went out and bought, because I'm wearing shorts, it's in May. And I went out and bought a bright orange pair of shoes because I wanted people to look at my leg and look at my device on my leg and say, I'm not embarrassed about it. I actually want you to ask me questions about it. And, you know, one of the my favorite things is that, you know, when I'm wearing shorts and somebody sees me in the store or anywhere, say, hey, my dad has something like that, but it doesn't look as cool as yours or something like that. And hey, where can I get one? So those are kind of things that make me feel real good. I was actually in Vegas in December and I was at what's called Cowboy Christmas as part of the National Finals Rodeo. They have a big expo with like 400 plus booths and that. So I was walking around there and saw a gentleman with cane and he was sitting down and I could see a plastic AFO underneath his pants. And I asked him, you know, what he was wearing it for. And he gave me a story. And I asked if he wanted to try out a different style because he'd got it 5 or 6 years ago and he wanted something different, but that was all he had right now. So I let him walk around Cowboy Christmas. He didn't even use his cane, which, you know, that makes me feel real good that I could help somebody. You know, I wasn't soliciting trying to sell something because he's not my territory, but I just want, you know, I want people to have a better quality of life by using product that works for them. And for me, that was the Allard AFO. And that's why I got involved with them.
I was, gosh, I'm not sure how many years ago. And, you know, I've stopped myself kind of wanting to go up to people, but I happen to be kind of in a coffee shop. And anybody that knows me would know that that's not an unusual place to find me. And there was a fellow that was kind of walking around and he had a very pronounced drop foot. And I thought, no, not going to say anything, not going to say anything. And, you know, and he was kind of wandering around a little bit. And then he kind of, at some point he turned and almost kind of fell into a table and chair and he could have seriously hurt himself. And I went, okay, no, I've got to say something. And so I approached him and said, you know, excuse me, happened to notice kind of thing. And I said, you know, should you ever, I gave him my card. I said, you know, should you ever want to look for something, you know, I can direct you somewhere, you know, where they can kind of take a look at that and, you know, maybe provide you with some options. Kind of stopped there, but, you know, I just saw this happening. And I've been lucky enough to be involved with a lot of kind of patient trials with our clinicians kind of across the country, bringing patients in and, you know, trialing devices on them. And, you know, there've been some days where it's full on crying and tears. And I was in one clinic and they were walking around kind of the reception area. And eventually the entire place was just in tears. So kind of the people at the front crying and random people that were just there waiting for their appointment were crying and so forth. So I term those good days at the office.
Absolutely.
What comes to mind for you? Kind of what story comes to mind? mind where it's kind of like, you know what, I'm glad I got out of bed this morning?
I was trying to get in to see a podiatrist probably for over a year and a half. And she was skeptical, especially on, you know, in the States, we have the L code system. Not as most of your clinicians probably know what that is, but she was skeptical on the reimbursement. So finally, she said, hey, I have a patient who has CP, and he came in for abrasions on the medial side of his great toe. Not uncommon with somebody who has crouch gait. And she goes, I would love to try this device on him. And you know, I brought one up. He tried one side on, and then he liked how it felt, but he needs bilateral. So she ordered bilaterals. I went up and helped, you know, for the first fitting. He came in, a severe crouch gait, pushing his walker. He's only 35 years old. And I assisted the doc, showed her how to fit, you know, the device on the patient. And he got up, went over to his walker. First of all, first thing he did was stand up straight. He wasn't all bent over anymore over top of his walker. We went out to the hallway, had him walk up and down. Once I readjusted where the AFO sat in his shoe and had him walk again. He went down to the end of the hall. He turned around and he started like almost jogging back, which just blew me away because, you know, his caregiver said that he's never stood upright that well since she's known him. And that's been like 6-7 years. So fast forward about a month and a half later, I followed up with the clinician and I said, hey, how's Jeffrey doing? She goes, he's doing great. He's not using his walker as much anymore. And he's planning on doing a bike race. And that got me. Like, that's what I want to hear. You know, those are the stories that I love to hear. You know, there's other devices that I've seen help people. But, you know, when I hear about an AFO helping somebody, that just, again, brings tears to my eyes because I helped get that man into, you know, into some devices that work for him.
I remember having an experience with one of our clinicians and, you know, we helped. I think the fellow had, I want to say CMT, I think. And, you know, we chilled him out and, yeah, this is going to work really well. And so happy to kind of be there and wished him, you know, best of luck. Probably maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks later, the clinician forwarded an email to me from the patient's wife. And she, you know, and it's just unusual that you would, you know, somebody would make the effort to actually kind of send an email in, and she wanted it to be directed to me. And she, you know, she said in the past, she goes, it sounds really, really silly and petty, but she goes, I used to hate the company Christmas party. I hated it because it was always a buffet and I would have to go up with my husband because, you know, it just wasn't stable. So he couldn't carry his plate. I have to go up to the buffet with my husband and put the food on his plate for him and that. And she goes, this year, because he can now stand and he can stand unassisted, you know, he was able to do the buffet line by himself. And she said, it sounds really, really petty, but she goes, it made such a difference, you know, and I just wanted you to know that. So that was one that I you know, always keep with, but I always remember that one.
I just love hearing stories like that from clinicians, you know, anecdotal, as I said, we're chiropractors. So anecdotal evidence is one of the things that we hear a lot, but you know, that brings me back to the trialing. You know, if you have a trial kit in your office that you can, you know, it makes so much more sense to trial somebody on something to see what works for them. You're going to find out pretty quickly watching them walk if that's the right device for them. Or if it doesn't, we have a trial period. We have a 30-day trial period. If that doesn't work for the patient, we don't want them wearing it if it's not going to be something that works for them. So we give a 30-day trial period to see if they can adapt to that. You know, it takes a couple of weeks at least to get used to something. But using a trial kit or NFR kit and our lingo is very helpful for the clinicians.
Absolutely. And that's something that we've always made available to our clinicians if they don't actually have one in clinic, is that we're generally able to make those arrangements to be able to get a device out to them to be able to kind of take that next step and trial that patient so that, you know, there's a better confidence level on both the side of the patient and also on the side of the clinician, especially if it's not something that they're as familiar with. So it kind of gives them that next comfort level. I'd like to go back. Just we talked about kind of the fitting and how it's, you know, starts as an off the shelf, but it really needs to be customized to get the most out of the device and to get the longevity out of the device. Can you talk us through a little bit through that customization process?
Well, that's going to always be patient dependent. I mean, we have close to 27 CEU courses and two of them have to do with custom and customization. So one is how to fit a custom AFO, you know, one of our custom AFOs, and then the other one is customization. And, you know, there's a process that the clinician has to go through to decide which device they're going to use. You know, there's a lot of things that can, I wouldn't call them they're contraindications that you want to make sure a patient doesn't have. You know, spasticity is one of them. If they have severe spasticity, you don't want to try to put somebody in a device that's going to cause them pain. You know, edema, major edema, that may be something else underlying that we want to address first. Mm-hmm. There's some other contraindications, but, you know, again, that's going to be up to the clinician to decide which device is going to be best for them. And then, you know, watching them walk is a key thing for whether they're getting new shoes or whether they're getting a orthotic device, which brings me back to the shoe thing is if you're going to get a device for the first time, having a new pair of shoes would be a really good idea, because then they're not worn down and the clinician's not trying to adapt that device to a worn out shoe. Like if you look at any of my shoes, they're really worn down on one side, on the left, and on the right, they have a completely different wear pattern. So if I went in to get that one customized for me, they're going to do something different than if I had a brand new pair that had another 3 or 4 millimeters that is not worn off. That makes sense.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we've talked to, you know, a lot about kind of the core of the AFO line, but there's the kind of the adjunct to that AFO line. I'd love to kind of go spend a little bit of time on that. So there's the pediatric sizing, and there's the ability to turn a Blue Rocker or a Toe-Off into a KFO with the combo kit. And we're able to do a fully custom layup for an Allard device. Can we speak a little bit about that?
So we have a full pediatric line. We have the Kitty Rockers, which is a pediatric equivalent to a Blue Rocker. So it's pretty supportive. And then we have the Kitty Gate, which is a little bit, you know, less supportive. I'm not going to lie, I don't know enough about pediatrics to go further into that. I do know that SureStep has they do SMOs for some of our devices, but I'm not as familiar with pediatrics as I should be, but we do have a full line of pediatric products, including fit kits as well. For the combo, it's a modular device. You have the AFO, you have the uprights, you have the popliteal strap for hyperextension, and you have the piece that goes into the AFO where it attaches the uprights to the AFO, and then you have the thigh cuff. So you measure for the thigh cuff, you trace the patient, you order the thigh cuff separately because that's sized to the uprights are not necessarily sized. The AFO obviously is sized, and I believe the popliteal strap is also sized. And then the clinician, we have a course on that as well, but clinician will trace the patient and then form the uprights around the patient and then attach where the thigh cuff where it needs to. It's quite a unique design in that, you know, when I left the hospital, they wanted to give me a massive KFO that was going to be this huge plastic thing that, again, it wouldn't have fit under any of my clothes. And, you know, if you have a loose enough pair of pants with our combo, you can fit it. You can hide it, essentially, if you need to. A baggy pair of sweatpants or a baggy pair of pants, you can fit it under. That's the thing I like about it. And it's pretty, you know, it's very sturdy. I mean, you don't want somebody who's 6'6" and 300 pounds using it. We want somebody to have some strength in their quads, but it's a pretty cool device.
We've seen some great successes where individuals, where they require kind of more of a device, but they just become progressively weaker. So the more substantial the device becomes, the heavier it becomes, and it gets to the point that they just, you know, they're not weak, they're not strong enough to be able to move the device around. So I know we've had some success for some of those patients, kind of some of the post-polio kind of syndrome patients when they present. I know that we've been quite successful in doing a combo because you've got the dynamic of the toe off, but then, you know, kind of the added stabilization that comes with the KFO portion.
And you can use the toe off Blue Rocker. I wouldn't recommend using the Flow only because it's a little thinner in the anterior shell than the 2.5 or the 2.0. Not super thin, but it's just not as thick. And I don't remember what the piece is called that attaches the uprights to, but it can pull out of there if it's too thin.
Right. And finally, the doing a fully custom version of the of an Allard AFO.
Yeah. The upside to the custom is you can shift the strut forward or backwards. Anterior posterior. I forget my medical terms sometimes. You can beef up foot plate. You can beef up the strut. I think there's a maximum length of the foot plate. I have a person with a size 16 foot, and he was going to be a little bit, maybe 15 millimeters too short, but they decided to go ahead and get a custom anyway, you know, because he really needed it and he was an active person. But that's another course that we have, and it goes over how to cast, scan, and then you send it into New Jersey. New Jersey sends it off to Sweden, and then it gets custom made there. It's taking, because of supply chain issues right now, it's taking between 6 and 8 weeks. That's the downside, I guess. But you do get a fully customized device where if somebody has some osseous malformations, if somebody has an extremely wide calf, if somebody just, again, like my size 16-foot person just can't fit a normal off-the-shelf extra large, then we can go to the custom route.
I know we've done some successfully where we've got kind of a change in the circumferential kind of shape mm-hmm. of the shin, so to speak, where the traditional shell just is not going to be able to accommodate for that shape, where somebody is perhaps kind of shorter but broader through through that shin. So we're able to accommodate that, you know, slight varus valgus kind of shifts in terms of that tibial angle. I know that we've used it for some of those patients as well.
Now, going back to what you just said about a shorter stature person that doesn't need a custom, we do have the short in both the Blue Rocker and the Toe-Off now. So we just came out with Blue Rocker short last year. The last 3 years have kind of melded into one. So it wasn't that long ago that we released that one.
So I always ask kind of a guest when they come on the show, is there anything coming down the pipe? Anything that we can look forward to?
We always have things that are available in Europe that I would love to have for some of my clinicians, but currently I'm not positive if there's anything coming out just yet.
So that's a wait and see answer.
Yeah. There's some of the things that I'd love to see that we have in Europe that, you know, different devices, like a compression, we have a compression garment that's pretty cool, but again, it's only available in Europe. So I don't know what about Canada, but the FDA that approves that sort of stuff? I'm not sure what the governing body is in Canada, but apparently some of those are the reasons that we can't bring certain things over, I guess.
Right. It takes a while. It takes a while on some of the approval process.
But Darren, I'm going to be telling you the first thing I hear. As soon as something new comes out, I'll let you guys know.
Excellent. So we'll look forward to that. Darren, thank you so much. I would love to invite you back on again because, you know, this conversation was strictly based around the Allard AFOs. But as you mentioned right at the beginning, there's a wealth of other Allard products. And I'd love to have a chat again at some time in the future if you're willing to come back and entertain us with kind of some of the other Allard product lines.
I'd be happy to.
That would be fantastic. So with that, I'm going to say thank you very much to Darren for joining us. And of course, to our audience, if anybody has a show or a topic for future episodes that you would like to hear about, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@orthoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your podcast app to receive updates. And if you enjoy the show, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Positive Outcomes is a production of Orthoped ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and Frederic Sauvé, and hosted by myself, Simon Beals, and Jeff Newell. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.